Hey, let's shift our attention to the world of football. Tom Boyd's a name that we all know very well in the world of football. From number one draft pick in 2013, played 61 games in his AFL career, including that very famous premiership in 2016 for the Western Bulldogs. But next year, he's heading into the ranks of amateur football after playing in the suburban comps this year at his old club. I want to find out why. Tom Boyd joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. Firstly, just on playing football outside of the AFL bubble, how refreshing has it been for you? You played at Norwood in the Eastern Footy League this year where you played your junior stuff. How refreshing was it to play footy without all that comes with being in the AFL bubble?
Yeah, it was. It's a great question. I think the best part for me was, you know, being able to finish a game, win, lose or draw, and go home and not take it home with you, be able to go home and still have the energy, and that level of fatigue is a lot lower, so you can go out and have some dinner and get on with your week without being sort of knocked about for a couple of days afterwards. So it was quite refreshing.
It's a sort of a big move to go from your sort of your junior footy club to then go back into the amateurs. So what talk to us about the reasons around the shift again.
Yeah, good question. Look, so obviously Nord were really accommodating last year because I finished up in May at the AFL level, and I was really keen to get back involved at footy at some level last year. I had, you know, 6 or 7 months basically before the end of the season, and like I said, Nord were extremely gracious and accommodating for me to get back involved. But I think for my, you know, my professional career and being in the industry of sort of getting into some public speaking and more of the white collar work, it was always going to be you know, appealing for me to get involved at the amateur level. I think I thought about this a long time ago, and as sad as it is for me to leave my local club, I think you know, for me and Anna, my fiance, and the rest of our lives, at least at this stage, looks like the best option for us. So really excited to get involved at St. Kevin's.
Daniel Harford's the number one ticket holder at St. Kevin's, they tell me. Did he have any influence on you heading across to St. Kevin's? And if so, what?
No recruitment needed. Okay. I haven't spent a lot of time with Harf, but I'm sure we'll cross paths in the near future.
I'll be cheering you on from the sidelines, Tommy. Don't worry about that. That'll be a big part of the Saturday afternoon extreme experience for the Harford clan to head down to TH King, the home of footy, Gareth.
Yep.
The home of footy.
And so what does number one ticket holder do at St. Kevin's?
He doesn't do a lot. I'll give you the tip.
Hey, Tom, you speak about the public speaking that you want to do. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what's going to be the theme of those chats?
Yeah, look, so it's already underway. I'm sort of putting together my presentation and it's developing every day, which is really exciting. But I've sort of done a range of speaking gigs at the moment across the corporate sector and also through the youth and the schooling system. So I find it really enjoyable, and I sort of cover a little bit about my experiences as a sportsman, and that's from a junior level all the way through the AFL ranks. And also a little bit about the struggles I've faced and, you know, how I've overcome some of them and some of the lessons I've learned along the way. So I found, you know, that it's really refreshing for me. It's really enjoyable, and hopefully someone and some people get some stuff out of it that's really helpful.
So we're seeing cricketers at the moment going through their own personal struggles, particularly a couple in Victoria. Would you be well equipped enough to sit down with them and talk about your experiences and how you dealt with it with them?
Well, I think the clear defining point of that statement is that I only speak about my experiences. I'm not a medically trained professional, and I would never assume to know enough to help them deal with their issues. But look, professional sport, as we know, is a strange beast, and there's many layers to it that have been added, I suppose, over the last 10 or so years with the change of technology and the rise of social media. So, look, my challenges are somewhat unique, but also at the same time, I'm sure the cricketers are facing significant challenges being on the world stage, and it's a completely different animal to what I'm going through, or what I went through, I should say.
Tom, if the AFL came to you as a consultant and they said that you could change anything you wanted in the professional game of AFL, what would you change?
Good question. I think there's real merit to giving the boys a later start to pre-season, just from my perspective. But, look, I think the AFL has made some significant steps in the off-season in bringing in the mental health panel that they did, and I think that they're probably best equipped to change some of the policy level items in the AFL to hopefully make a significant positive change in the space for mental health.
If you were 16 or 17 again, Tom, would you do anything differently?
No, it's a good question. I get it asked quite often. I wouldn't change a thing. Look, I had some serious struggles playing AFL footy, and I also had some really, really positive moments as well. And you know, the only reason that I'm here today and doing what I'm doing and as happy as I am and healthy and moving on to the next stage of my life and in good shape is because I went through that stuff. And it's going to hold me in good stead into the future, I think, having gone through some adversity and also some triumphs, I suppose, through that whole system.
Do you think, Tom, that younger people these days put more pressure on themselves, more higher expectations on themselves, not just as athletes, but just as people, and that's one of the challenges of a younger person these days?
Well, I think naturally sportsmen have always been high-achieving, just in my opinion. But I think the challenge these days is disconnecting from that level of commitment that they have to their sporting. And look, across the board, I think that social media and technology in general gives us this ability to connect and a sort of sense of unreal lives around us, and that everything around us is going perfectly for other people. So comparatively, we're always struggling to find that perfection. And I think sporting people in general have always been super high achieving, and that's the way it's always been. But I suppose trying to get away from that and finding self-value outside the sporting realms in their life is probably the number one issue that people are finding these days.
Yeah, I think that's a great call.
You've mentioned social media a number of times. Do you still have social media?
Yeah, I do. But I think there was a significant shift in my career with how I thought of it. And I had this conversation with a couple of people yesterday. And the challenge is, I think, understanding that social media is not necessarily a personal tool. And if it is one for you, then you need to treat it as such. Once you start expanding your network into people that you really don't know, then you have to start treating it as such. And I treat mine as a tool and as a business tool primarily. So that means that I have primarily a business relationship with it, which takes some of the personal aspect out of it for me, which is really important.
When's pre-season start, Tom?
Oh, good question. I actually haven't been told yet. I've been running a little bit, but we'll see.
And what role are you going to play? Forward? Are you going to play ruck? What
Where
are you going to do?
I think I'll play forward at this stage, but, you know, you only do what the coaches tell you. but having said that, my shoulders aren't what they used to be, so hopefully the forward's the spot for me.
So do you have a beer on Friday night now before the game? Pie and sauce at half time, a dart maybe?
No, actually, not currently. I don't know if that's a great idea for me pre-game. But look, you can go home and have a beer afterwards. I actually used to have one beer on a Thursday night, which was quite a refreshing experience after training. Very different for me. But I think I'll still keep the no alcohol policy even up before a game.
It's after the game, Gareth. The esky in the middle of the room and full of cans. That's how it happens when you're victorious as a kid.
We played this clip on RSN Central yesterday. A hockey player who played golf with Michael Jordan. They had about 10 Uber Light. What's that beer?
Bud Lights.
And he then they played 36 holes of golf, and then he shot 50 points that night.
Well, he's capable.
Hey, Tom, just one final one from me, and it's a pretty simple question, but also a bit complex. Are you happy now? Like, if you know, when you look back at your life now and where you're at now, because you've obviously had your challenges, would you describe yourself as happy?
I definitely would. Look, I think my issue as I went through my football career was that I realised that, you know, I wasn't really comfortable being a footballer. I didn't enjoy all the things that go with it. And I think that's a really challenging thing for someone to have that sort of internal conflict around whether they're doing the vocation of their choice or their choosing. So now that I'm in, you know, the public space and I'm looking to actually, you know, achieve something that I'm really, really passionate about, and that's the stuff around mental health and helping people. And every day is a new day. Every time I speak, it's a new crowd, and I learn something different. And look, to be totally honest, this period of my life is probably the most exciting and the most joyful that I've ever had. So, it's really exciting, and, yeah, I can say I'm truly happy at the moment.
It's great to hear.
Nice to hear. And, of course, what we do here on RSN Carnival is we get the VAFA game of the day too. So chances are you'll be able to listen to the call from Joey Pignataro on the team.
Can we mic you up?
Who nail things every single week.
No, I think it'd be great if we could mic Tom up and take the coverage to a new level.
We'll take that offline and see what can happen about that. But you can listen to the match of the day next year and the AMOs on RSN Carnival app. It's a fantastic thing. Tom, I look forward to seeing you in the colours of St. Kevin's. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Tom Boyd with us.
Do they get paid in the AMOs? No.
Well, duh.
No.
It's the AMOs.